Live from the 1480 AM studios in Phoenix, Arizona, KPHX, you are listening to Breakthrough Entertainment. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host of Breakthrough Entertainment, alongside Greg Isaac and Joseph Erdo. Guys, in unison, how are you?
Outstanding.
Great.
Oh, there's one.
Just okay.
Oh, come on. You're in slow motion here.
It's great.
Yeah,
it is a little hot. It's that time of year, but yeah. You know, we get used to it quickly, and the girls wear less, so that's always good.
It's less is more. You've always told me less is more.
Yeah.
Or did you say more is less?
I think I've said less is more.
That was your friend Les.
We talked about that. That's excellent. It has been hot out here. Unusually hot, I think, this early in June. Am I correct?
I don't know. I think it's always pretty hot.
Is it global warming?
Like
Eric, is it global warming that we're experiencing?
Well, I know there's hardly any ice caps left, so there must be something going on.
Absolutely.
I think so, too. I think you're quite correct. And people that say, hey, no global warming, well, look at the ice caps. They have disappeared.
Yeah,
somewhere.
There's a great documentary on Netflix about that. I forget.
Is that right?
Chasing Ice.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a great movie called Chasing Amy. Ever see that?
I think I have, yes.
We've had Kevin Smith on the air on our show before, and he's the writer, director, and acting in that.
Yeah, yeah.
Chasing Amy. I love that movie. Anyway, so ice caps, save your ice because they're melting. Now, Breakthrough Entertainment every Saturday, 11 to 12, and Thursday, blogtalkradio.com/BTBN, 2 to 3. Or four sometimes.
Yeah, you can listen to the show on the line, right?
That's right. On the line.
Yeah.
Sounds like a game show. On the line.
Yeah, you listen to it on the line. You can go to even this show, KPHX 1480.com. No, 1480kphx.com.
Oh, that's right.
Absolutely.
I confuse you, but, you know, but you can listen to it on the line.
Oh, that's right.
Absolutely. And be sure to download the 1480kphx app on your iPhone or Android market.
Which is free.
It is free, and it's great, and it works. You know, Eric, it really works very well.
Absolutely.
It's a great app. Yeah, a lot of people, we're asking everyone to do that, so that's very exciting. Now, before we get into the movie reviews, I did see Star Trek.
You did?
Yesterday.
Exciting?
Should I give you the review?
Yeah, go ahead.
Excellent. Now, if you're an old-time Star Trek fan, the old original one.
Like Dave. You know, Dave was already in his prime when the original series
came
out.
No, it was past my prime. I'm in my prime now, actually. So, it was incredible. What's his name? Chris Pine?
Yeah.
I mean, he's a great Captain Kirk. Mm-hmm. Spock is, whoever that is, great Spock. Bones, great Bones. This is a great movie. And, of course, you had our friend Sulu.
Yeah, John Cho.
He did a great job. Mm-hmm. No question. Out of character. Usually he's in funny movies. And this was a serious movie. Did a great job. This was a fantastic movie. I'm almost willing to say this is better than the original.
Better than the one from a few years ago or the original?
The original cast.
Oh, okay.
The interrelationships between Spock, you know, and Captain Kirk was fantastic in this movie. Actually, you know, there was, in the old movie, there was a reversal where Spock, am I allowed to say a part of the show, what happened?
I just wouldn't say the villain. That's the one I would keep quiet.
Okay, I won't say the villain. I'm glad you told me because I was about to. That was my next.
You can say who plays it, but you just can't say the character's name.
Yeah, but it was a reversal of roles where Spock, you know, the one of the many outweigh the needs of the one or something like that. And and in one of the movies, it was Spock who sacrificed. This time it was Captain Kirk, and it, almost the same exact thing happened. And it was fantastic. I mean. The villain, I won't say, but that will surprise people and I think excite people at the same time.
Yeah. The actor was great who played that, right? Benedict Cumberbatch.
Phenomenal acting. And the storyline was excellent. It was fast-paced, special effects. What I liked about the old Star Trek, the original, was the character development, where you had Spock, apparently very logical, Bones, emotional, Captain Kirk in between. Combined with all three, it was the perfect human being almost. Mm-hmm. But Spock does have emotions, and I think that's what makes this film as well, is that the friendship that's developing. You got to like that.
Yeah, I definitely had a thumbs up from me, so yeah. You as well, huh?
Very, very good. I highly recommend everyone get out to see that.
Now, I haven't seen it yet, of course, but you were mentioning Joseph, and now Dave, you could mention as well. I've never seen any Star Trek, not the old-time shows back when Dave was in his 60s, back in the 1960s, and then also, of course, the original movie with Chris Pine from a couple years back.
Right.
I could still see this one, though, without seeing those, and I can understand what's going on.
And I would suggest to do so, because I never liked Star Trek, even the last one.
Right.
You know, but this one I thought was a great great movie. You know, even if you're not into science fiction, I think that the themes here will you will appreciate.
Sure, I think
you
will.
And I think this is just another stepping stone to more movies.
Oh, I'm
possibly,
sure it
is. I hope so as well, but it didn't do as well at the box office as Paramount probably would have liked it.
Wonder why.
There's a lot of competition out there. I mean, look here. Today we've got three more movies that are coming out.
Yeah.
And, you know, so there's just a lot of competition out there.
It's too bad. Such a great, great film. And it only lasted 3 years on TV in the 60s.
Yeah.
Then it made a comeback in the movies. It was a very strange situation. Hopefully this will continue because it is that good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So what do we got? Reviewing today, what do you have?
Well, today, later on in the show, we're going to end the Breakthrough Entertainment segment of the show with a review and discussion of The Purge. I have the shirt on today, right?
Yes, you
kind
do.
Kind of a horror slash thriller, interesting concept.
You have like a face of someone that it
looks
sort of eerie.
That's the mask that they wear in the film.
It's scary looking.
It is. You're already scared, aren't you?
I'm scared just looking at your chest. But there's a face on your chest.
Wow. Dave has never said that before, has he?
Look, there's a face.
Interesting, Dave.
No, there's a face on his chest.
Yeah, I see that there.
Oh, okay.
Careful there. Eyes up here. So, yeah, we'll end the show with that that review and discussion. Should be a really interesting discussion.
Yeah.
And then also later on we have a review of The Kings of Summer. And a discussion of that film and its themes, as well as several sound bites with the from an exclusive interview with the director of that, Jordan Vogt Roberts.
Wow!
And here in a few moments, we will start the show with a review and discussion of The Internship, the new movie starring Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn.
And I'm hoping you like that because I love The Wedding Crashers.
Yeah.
I know this is not. I don't think a takeoff.
Right, right.
Or a sequel, different characters.
Different characters,
but the
right.
chemistry there was great, but the storyline was really funny.
Yeah, so we'll find out if that one's any good.
Oh, I hope so.
But first of all, you know, we have some listeners, they're tuning in, they want some passes. We have VIP passes for a new movie. It's called 20 Feet from Stardom. And the screening of this is on June 24th at Harkins Camel View 5. And basically, it's really easy. We have VIP passes, and they're seats. I'll put you on the list. And, you know, we don't want you to call. Don't call or anything. But I have an email address. The first, it's first come, first serve. So email me at this email address I'm going to give you. It's entertainmentbreakthrough@gmail.com. Again, that's all one word, all one email address, entertainmentbreakthrough@gmail.com. Send me an email, and the first, until they run out, if you're one of the first, you get automatically on the list, guaranteed seats at the screening before anyone else gets to see it. It's a documentary about, you know how people have backup singers? You know, Kelly Clarkson, you know, but there's people in the behind her singing, and, you know, so that it's that kind of a, you know, story about them. They're 20 feet from stardom. They're, you know, throughout their careers. So what's that feel like?
And so that's the title, 20 Feet from Stardom.
Yeah, yeah. So it should be an interesting documentary. Again, you can see it free before anyone else. You know, entertainmentbreakthrough@gmail.com. Send me an email. And,
Very cool.
Yeah, it pays.
I'm typing in an email right now as we speak.
Yeah.
I'm 20 feet from emailing them.
Good, good.
Do we qualify?
Yeah, well, sure.
Eric, yes. Yeah, type in. What was it again? Breakthrough Entertainment?
No. See, now
don't
he confuses
talk,
everyone.
Dave.
Yeah.
Don't even talk.
Yeah, these people are on the line right now trying go to entertainmentbreakthrough@gmail.com.
Oh, that one. You reverse it. Entertainmentbreakthrough@gmail.com.
Yeah, someone else had the other one, unfortunately.
I think you did, Greg.
I don't, but you'd be amazed because you... Yeah. You know, even when you put your name in the, you know, GregIsaac@gmail.com.
Someone already
else has
that,
it. Greg underscore Isaac.
Really?
Greg_Isaac25. Someone has.
There's more of you out there?
Oh, there's Greg Isaacs everywhere.
They're called doppelgangers.
Yeah. Wow. What does that mean?
It a twin that you don't really know exists?
Absolutely. Oh, I thought that was Willy Wonka, you know, a candy or something.
No, that's just yours.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, remember? What was that, a thumbs up? Willy Wonka?
Yeah, of course.
Which
one,
the original or Johnny Depp?
I prefer Johnny Depp's version.
I like the old one.
I thought Johnny Depp did great, mm-hmm. but I do love the old one. There's just something about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gene Wilder.
Yeah, he was pretty freaky.
Yeah. And let's see, Johnny Depp, are you going to be reviewing the Lone Ranger?
Of course.
Yeah, that looks pretty good.
Yeah, and I just received an email, late breaking news, you know his horse in the Lone Ranger? What's the horse's name?
Oh, the Bengal Tiger from Siegfried and Roy.
Wow. Eric, do you know the horse's name?
Silver.
Silver was the...
Yeah.
Yeah, Silver.
Yeah, very good. He's going to be here in town.
The horse?
Yeah.
Can we interview him?
Is he going to sign autographs?
I believe he might be with his teeth. They're going to put a carrot in one one end. And
they're really going to show off the horse out
there? Yeah, the horse is going to be here. He's going to be at Tempe Marketplace and also Desert Ridge.
Wow, when is that?
I believe on Monday and Tuesday. I forget the exact details.
Are you going to go talk to the horse a little bit?
I probably won't because it's
Eric, do you remember
Mr. Ed?
Exactly. That's what I was just going to ask. A horse is a horse, of course, of course. Yeah, remember? That was sort of funny.
I'll watch it if I find it.
Is it still on?
I don't know. I haven't seen it on any channels in a long
time.
It has to be. It's classic.
Yeah. It is classic. It was funny.
Maybe.
There's so many channels out there. I've noticed, like, when you get to, like, the 110s, 115s, they have reruns of just any show.
Oh,
even
huge.
Doogie Howser, I noticed a few months ago, was being rerun.
Yeah, but it's in some weird language.
Yeah, well, that's true sometimes.
Subtitles, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Very cool. So the horse, of course.
So, okay. I don't know the exact details, but again, it's at Tempe Marketplace and also Desert Ridge Marketplace, I believe, Monday and Tuesday.
Maybe we could post it on our Facebook page, can we, Greg?
When about
we
find the horse?
Out? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, go to google.com
we can't actually post it on Facebook. We have to actually ask somebody and get permission for that.
I didn't know that. Okay.
See, Dave really believes that we can post it on Facebook.
But if you want to see a great-looking Superman, go to our Facebook.
Yeah.
No, what's
he's
our Facebook
there.
Again?
The Ron Jeremy-looking Superman.
Facebook.
Go to breakradioshow.com and click the big F, and you'll find
us. Oh, that's the easiest.
Yes, that's easy.
That's the easy way to find us.
Okay, good.
And you can also find us if you call us, if you want to talk about any of today's movies. What's the number that they can call, Dave?
Yeah, they could call in at 602-252-1480, and that's 602-252-1480, and 1480, of course, is for 1480 AM KPHX.
Absolutely, yeah. So, so let's talk about the internship. Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson play salesmen who, having seen their careers torpedoed by the digital age, find their way into a coveted internship at Google where they must compete with a group of young tech-savvy geniuses for a shot in employment. So you said you're looking forward to this. I know both of you are looking forward to this because you're fans of Wedding Crashers.
Absolutely.
And fans of actors. Both actors. Very funny. But I'm going to guess you didn't like it.
No, this is a big thumbs down.
Oh, darn.
Yeah.
Oh. Darn it.
You know that whole on-the-line thing that I've been saying so far today's show? That's the only funny joke in the movie, and I kind of like wore it to death, so now you don't even have to go see the movie.
Oh, wow.
That's the only thing I laughed at during this entire movie. And it's like 2 hours long.
And Rob Riggle's in it, too. And it still wasn't funny.
He's got a very small role. And it was just annoying. I mean, it's difficult when you have a 2-hour movie and it's a comedy and I wasn't finding anything very funny. I was finding everything very annoying, actually.
What were the type of jokes? I mean, were they just kind of replaying similar stuff? Or is it because this is PG-13, and you need Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn comedies to be rated R? They got to go more over the top?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit tame. There's one scene, I will say, where they have some fun at a nightclub, but even that's kind of tame. You might chuckle here and there. You know, I to be fair, I did chuckle a few times. But the internship, I mean, the Hangover, all these movies that are supposed to be wild. You're supposed to be laughing out loud, right?
Right, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't do that. I did that maybe once, and I think that was because of the online and Vince Vaughn's character keeps doing that because he's just so old. He's too naive to realize that he's saying it wrong. But and it's a one joke movie.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. These two guys are too old to be doing this. And it's kind of sad also because Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson in real life are looking a little bit long in the tooth.
Really?
Yeah.
How old are they?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Like, Greg,
early 40s. Yeah.
Even Owen?
Yeah. Owen, I believe, was born in 68, so 44, 45, and Vaughn in 70, I believe.
Catching
I don't know
up
their exact
you,
birthday, so about 42, 43.
Interesting.
Yeah. But, you know, then even they're
I know Vaughn does a lot of partying behind the scenes, too, and that might
Owen
catch up
44.
A bit.
44.
Oh, 44.
44.
Okay.
44.
Yeah, and Vince Vaughn, I mean, he does his, I call them vonologues, where he kind of makes it up on the fly, right? And even those are kind of very annoying in this movie. I mean, I've been getting a little bit tired of both of them. You know, you might like it. I don't know. I was so done with this movie by the time it was over. You know, I actually stopped, ever since I saw this movie a few days ago, I've stopped using Google, and I've went back to using Yahoo.
Oh, because, yeah. They're interns at Google.
Yes, I was just very angry. No,
so who financed this movie, Yahoo?
Hey, that's good, yes.
Well, it is kind of like one giant advertisement for Google as well, you know, which is kind of annoying.
Right, right.
And it's just a very empty movie as well. I mean, we're going to try to talk about one of the themes here that I wish that they would have talked more about. You know, they're always on the edge of it. You know, extreme intellect is useless without common sense. They always had the chance to do that, and you thought, you know, there are several times during the movie that you think that they're going to address that theme, and they never do. Mm-hmm. They never do. It's just a completely empty, pointless movie. So again, thumbs down. But Dave, what do you have to say about extreme intellect is useless without common sense?
Well, I agree. I have not seen the movie at this point. However, you know, you meet a lot of people with raw intelligence. In fact, one time I did a neurolinguistic programming breakout session, about 100 people, for a Mensa, you know, conference.
Mm-hmm.
There are thousands of people there at the Princess Hotel quite a few years ago. But what I found is that a lot of the raw intelligence people, the Mensa, of course, is for, you know, quote-unquote geniuses, you know, to score high in the IQ.
Why'd they get you to do that?
Well, because neurolinguistic programming.
Oh.
I'm not a Mensa. I agree with you. However, neurolinguistic programming was a lot of fun. There I was with all these geniuses, 100 of them, overflowing. I was the most popular breakout session, in fact. It was on nonverbal communication, and judges and attorneys and all these scientists were out trying to throw me off. And I use NLP very effectively to throw them off. And it just shows that raw intelligence in and by itself, without practical type of context, doesn't work very well. Mm. So raw intelligence is good, but what do you use it for? Now, common sense, I'd take someone any day over a genius, if someone with common sense, ability to see things from many points of view, to see beyond one's own fears, resistance, see clarity, simple answers and solutions, you know, practical solutions is the answer. But raw intelligence, just for the sake of intelligence without applying it, is useless.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Yeah, well, and that's what this entire movie, I mean, Google's philosophy is thinking outside the box.
Well,
right?
They're creative, though.
Yeah,
so
they're creative.
They're smart, but they also have a you know, they think of not, they think the point of view is not just creating something sophisticated, but sophistication in that the average person can make sense of.
Exactly.
That's the key.
Yeah,
and that's why they're brilliant.
Right, and so that's why it would be, you know, there is some use to having, you know, two guys like Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn doing an internship there, because then they, you know, bring it back down to earth, and it's not just all these numbers and figures and, you know, hacking and
so
whatnot.
So good contrast between the pure geniuses and and two silly guys that are
because
trying to get a job.
They think down to earth. They're just like you and me. They're, you know, they have the same, they want a job, they want money, they have the same issues.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the majority of people aren't in Mensa, because otherwise it wouldn't be Mensa, right?
Yeah, it's a very strange group. I mean,
well,
I shouldn't say strange group, but
I know some Mensa folks, so.
Wait,
I'm going to stay.
You have? Yeah. Well, I do too, but I mean, I shouldn't say strange, but it was interesting that perhaps some of the social skills weren't there.
Right.
I don't want to make a generalized statement, but.
Right.
But it is a group that is, you qualify based on how well you score in the IQ test, pretty much.
Exactly. Yeah, my mom has always told me that I graduated summa cum laude from college. And
wow.
And
you're smart.
Thank you. But I'm not in Mensa still. But, you know, I always had these high achievements, but I never, she always said that you're so smart, but you aren't smart. You don't have the common sense. You don't have street smarts. You don't have, you know.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
I mean, so you do have to have both.
Thanks, Mom.
Yeah,
yeah, really.
But well,
yeah,
it was always because it went after I did something stupid. So.
Oh, but you have common sense now.
Now, yeah, I'm
and street
I'm
sense.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. See.
Yeah. So you know, but you need that. You need both. You can't just have one or the other.
Oh yeah.
So I wish that they would address that a little more in the internship, but they don't. Again, thumbs down. Mm. Go back and rent Wedding Crashers. You'll have a lot more fun, even if you've watched it 200 times already.
And there was a movie I saw the other night on TV I wanted to bring up, and similar to Internship and Wedding Crashers in the sense that it brings back a couple of the main title characters from Wedding Crashers, Owen Wilson and, of course, Rachel McAdams. It was called Midnight in Paris, directed by one of Dave's favorites,
Woody Allen.
So he likes Woody Allen.
Actually,
Woody Allen is pretty funny. Quite the nose that he has as well. But, you know, and I liked it. Sort of original concept and very good movie. I don't know if you've seen that, Joseph.
Yeah, I liked it. Some of my colleagues named it the best film of the year that it came out.
Really?
I wouldn't go that far.
It got good reviews, I believe, overall.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far either. But it was a good mix of, you know, humor and a lot of different things kind of thrown in there. And, you know, him kind of going back to the 20s and, you know, all those Picasso and...
Woody Allen is one of those directors, one of those filmmakers that does think outside the box.
Yeah.
He's a very intelligent guy,
yeah.
but he's also down to earth and has that common sense. So,
but he has really weird marriage taste.
Yeah.
He likes him young.
Yeah, and related.
Yeah,
I don't get it. Really,
well, hey, he makes some funny movies, though. So
right, Eric?
We'll
that doesn't that. Even make sense.
No,
does
that
it?
Was quite strange. But my favorite Woody Allen movie is Love and Death with Diane
Keaton. Oh, that is hysterical.
I've watched that 100 times.
Yeah, that and how about Bananas? Wasn't that pretty good,
that was
too?
Good too.
And
Sleeper, of course.
Yeah.
Now, I like
Annie Hall.
That's when I started to wane off on the.
But that was funny, the old style Woody. But he made one. Jason, the guy from American Reunion, Jason
Biggs.
Biggs. He made one with him. I forgot the title, but it was pretty good, too. That was more recent.
Yeah, and there's another one coming out this year. I don't remember the title of that one, but I know what you're talking about. But there's also the one with Larry David, Whatever Works.
Yeah.
That one was pretty good. But this year, later this summer, and I'm sure that we'll have a review of it, and we'll talk all about it, is Blue Jasmine.
From Woody Allen.
Yes, from Woody Allen. He's keeping a tight lip on what the movie's actually about.
Oh.
But it's Blue Jasmine is what it's called, and I believe it's in August.
Oh wow, yeah, I love his stuff. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, usually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else was the one with Jason Biggs.
Anything else?
Yeah. Did you see that, Eric?
I have not. I didn't even know it existed.
I thought it was pretty cool, and because Jason Biggs sort of portrayed. The young Woody Allen, in a way. His character, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Sort of that silliness.
Christina Ricci.
It was really quite funny, I thought. And
that was 2003. Now, the much older stuff, like the Bananas ones you were talking about.
Oh, way long
ago.
There's
one, I don't remember what it was called, and I know you've talked about before, and I'll only briefly elaborate, not too much, but the scene where Howard Cosell on
Bananas.
The honeymoon, that was it. And he's announcing the action that's going on.
Yeah, he took over the country, a little banana republic type thing.
But the wedding deal, the honeymoon, right? He did the announcing.
He was doing the announcing.
That was
like
pretty...
it was a sporting event.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a cut over the right eye. We may have to stop the action. Remember how
did
funny
you see
that,
Joseph?
Yeah.
Did you like it? It was funny, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Of course.
I didn't
good
see
stuff.
The whole movie, just that scene, but I'm sure
was pretty
I'd
good.
Like some of
oh, what was the guy's name was... what was Woody's character? Felder, I think.
I don't remember.
We'll look it up. We'll talk about it after break.
Anyway, it was very funny.
Next review.
Well, why don't we take a quick break right now? And, of course, this is Breakthrough Entertainment, 1480 AM, downtown Phoenix, KPHX. And, of course, we're on every Saturday from 11 to 12. And, of course, our sports programming from 12 to 2. And as well as blogtalk.com/BTBN, Thursday's Breakthrough Entertainment. Along, we have Joseph Erdo, Greg Isaac. I'm Dave Isaac. We'll be right back.
At Beerum Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birnbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment with Joseph Erdo, Greg Isaac. I'm Dave Isaac, the host, live here at 1480 AM Phoenix, Arizona, KPHX. We've been talking about the internship. Thumbs down from our own movie reviewer, Joseph Erdo.
Yes, but we still have two more movies to talk about. So, you know,
we got a chance for some movies tonight if you want to see it. But there are some great movies out. Star Trek?
Yeah.
Before Midnight?
Before Midnight. That got a breakthrough last week.
I want to see that, actually. Six. Fast and Furious.
Now You See Me.
That got some thumbs up.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And by the end of this show, I'm going to tell you what my favorite movie this summer so far is. But at the end of the show.
Can we guess?
I don't guess.
Okay, we won't guess.
Real quick, before we get to the Kings of Summer, you got to check out Jesse Eisenberg's interview. It was an awkward interview, and I forgot who it was with. So just Google it, the awkward Jesse Eisenberg interview. the girl interviewing him, very hot, but, you know, she didn't know what she was doing, and Eisenberg was giving her a hard time. But he was doing it funny. I mean, he was funny about it, very sarcastic, very dry. So some people, you know, she may not have realized that he didn't mean to offend her or anything like that, but it was pretty interesting. Oh. And he's a funny guy. I mean, you could tell, you know, if you have common sense, you can tell that he was just being funny, but, you know, I think she didn't know, so.
Was she mad?
Not mad, but, you know, just check it out. Maybe on the next break we'll bring it up on here.
There you are with that common sense again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There we go.
Yeah. So,
all right. The Kings of Summer. In this, Nick Robinson, Gabriel Basso, and Moses Arias play three teenage friends who, in the ultimate act of independence, decide to spend their summer building a house in the woods and living off the land. Nick Offerman also stars in this as one of their parents. And you said that this looked interesting to you, right, Dave?
It did. The trailer looked sort of cool. And I thought the theme looked sort of interesting, but I could tell you're probably not going to like it.
Okay, well, you know, I will say this. It's without a doubt one of the most refreshingly original motion pictures that you will see all year. It's an independent film, you know, so again, we have some clips here with the director that we'll bring out in just a few moments. But, you know, it's quirky, charming, funny, sophisticated, incredibly creative. Having said that, the premise is somewhat thin. You know, once they go into the woods, you know, it's fun when they're with the parents and the parents are acting goofy. And you know, as you said during the break, Greg, Nick Offerman is always, you know, very funny, even though sometimes his movies aren't great. You know, the parents in this movie, Megan Mullally is also one of the parents, and Mark Evan Jackson, they're all hilarious in this movie. The kids, it's a little bit weak. You know, the characterization of these kids is a little bit weak. So that once they go out and they escape their commonality, it's a little bit... it's not the perfect movie, but you know, it's still engrossingly eccentric and extracts a sweet-natured emotional resonance from you know, from this teenage tale that we've heard 100 times. I'm giving it a thumbs up.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
okay.
It's not a strong thumbs up, but it's definitely a thumbs up. So I would recommend going out and seeing this movie. Again, it's an independent film, so if you like, you know, art house films, if you like coming of age movies, I think that you will, you know, you'll find enough in this movie to see it. And, you know, the theme here is the transition from childhood to adulthood is driven by the desire for independence, right?
That's the theme.
Yes. So, well, you know, what do you have to say about that?
Well, I think, you know, everyone goes through that, and some don't, actually. Yeah. They never want to be independent. Some want to be codependent. Oh, no, that's some women. Okay, but the thing is, there. Yes, ouch, and... But most, you know, most kids want to be independent. The problem is independence without confidence and skill sets can be dangerous. Mm-hmm. If you're overconfident and you don't have the skills to do something, often it can get you in trouble. So I think, you know, I didn't see the movie yet. However, parents out there, just watch your kids. Give them enough independence so they can gain confidence and learn skill sets, but not enough or too much independence where they can actually do damage. I think that's really, really important. So the intention of being independence is good, but you need to know when you're ready, when you're not ready, what you can and can't do.
You know,
does
that
make sense?
Yeah, I believe so.
And I think something that's important when you are transitioning, when you're, you know, 17, 18, about to graduate high school and then move on to college or work or both or whatnot, even though I'll say college is important, I think it also is just as important to make sure you're out in the work world in some way.
Yeah.
Whether you're doing both or maybe you do a little work at first and then go to school or, you know, but I just think because then you get that real life experience in college, it's great and you definitely should go or at least look into it at some point, but you may learn things but not the actual real reality that's out there. So I think you definitely got to have that kind of work experience.
So have a balance, you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, intellectual stuff combined with practical experience.
Oh yeah,
makes sense.
Without a doubt.
And I don't blame these kids for wanting to get away from their parents because they are kind of, you know, extreme versions of our own parents. You know, we can kind of relate in some way.
How old were they? Do you remember the ages?
The kids, they were teenagers. I think they were in high school.
Okay. Right.
High school age. And so they, you know, they're not quite ready to move on with life, but they have this, you know, they have this drive. They want to be self-sufficient, and that's why they go out in the woods. And so it's, you know, it doesn't really say anything in particular about that, just that it's putting it into a movie, you know, that search for independence, that desire to be self-sufficient, to be out on your own, you know, especially after, I mean, by the time you are in high school, you're kind of like really yearning for that, right? You're itching to be out on your own. So this, of course, played at the Phoenix Film Festival, and you know, I had a chance to speak with the director of this, Jordan Volk Roberts, when he was here as part of that. You know, I think, or no, you weren't there that night at the mixer.
Right.
I was trying to introduce you. But,
yeah.
But he was a great guy, and I spoke with him a little bit about this film, and this is what he had to say about how this project came to be, how he got the job.
I had made a short film called Successful Alcoholics, and that was a short that balanced a really tricky tone of, like, being funny and then not, and being funny and then not. And Chris Coletta had written the script for this movie, and the Big Beach, who made Little Miss Sunshine, had bought it, and they were looking for a director, and they sent me the script, and my response literally was like, why are you teasing me right now? Like, this script is amazing. How can you not have a director on board? Like, I legitimately thought it was a joke. Like, I fell in love so hard with the script that I was just like, how is somebody not already making this? But the job was available, so I pitched and pitched and pitched, and then even when I won the job, it was a movie that people didn't really want to make. It's just not a movie that, like, Hollywood studios are in the business of making anymore, because it's about kids, but it's sort of for adults, you know, like. And then you use this example of, like, Stand By Me, and they'd be like, well, we don't make Stand By Me anymore. And it just sort of, like, defies the, like, quadrant system. Like, you know, Hollywood puts things in terms of, like, older males, older females, younger males, younger females. And on paper, this is a movie for nobody. But on paper, Stand By Me is also a movie for nobody. You know what I mean? It's just about in execution pulling it off.
Yeah, and so, you know, what I thought was really interesting about this film is that it's all about independence, but it's also... The movie itself, the production, was all about being an independent production, you know, you can see the full interview on examiner.com, and also it's up, it'll be up in a few hours on breakradioshow.com with some comments from him about, you know, what this movie would have been like if it was made within the studio system. But here's a little snippet from that, what he had to say about the independent nature of it.
You've seen coming-of-age stories before. We've all seen them. And you've seen even variations on a story like this. And so I just felt like if we're going to do this, like, there needs to be something new about it. There needs to be something fresh. There needs to be something that feels simultaneously super relevant but not dated. The tricky thing about it is, like, in terms of the spirit, right, like the independent nature of it, we got a lot of freedom. Like, I was able to really go and do my own thing. And it probably would have been crazy if I had said to a studio, like, well, I want to, like, combine, like, impressionistic elements and, like, lyrical elements and, like, a little bit of Terrence Malick with, like, John Hughes. You know what I mean? Like, they probably would have thought that was crazy. But, you know, so on one hand, like, I definitely got to experiment with it. But the bigger thing is just, like, having that desire to do something new and to push the envelope and to be like, let's tell this story in a new way. Like, let's just find something fresh. And so because we had independent producers, because we didn't have people, like, constantly watching us, we were able to try that.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm glad that they were able to try that. You know, I think he made a joke about if they had made this with a lot more money and with the studio system, he says that he probably would have been forced to put a bunch of giant transforming cars in the movie.
Yeah.
Completely different, right? But of course, our favorite question, what did you learn about yourself? What did you learn about your skill from this film? And this is what he said.
I mean, like, to put it in the most basic of terms, like, fail boldly and fail bravely. Ideally, you train yourself well enough at your craft that, like, when a curveball comes, you adapt. My favorite part of filmmaking is when things go wrong. Like, I love that moment when it hits the fan and you're like, okay, let's figure this out. Because honestly, I think if you've trained yourself well enough, those are the best things in movies. The things that, like, you didn't plan on shooting that way, everything went wrong, and so you completely audibled and changed it up. You know, I work, a lot of the comedians and people are improvisers, and I love improvising because it just allows you to go after what's right in the moment, as opposed to, like, what you wrote and what you storyboarded and what's, like, locked in, because then there's, like, not a freshness to it. I mean, look, this process taught me so much about myself, and it was a very difficult movie to make because we wanted to make it big. We wanted to give it that scope and scale on a very small budget, you know? And so, yeah, like, fail boldly, fail bravely. Like, I just think you just have to go for it.
I think that's a great lesson for life, isn't it?
There's a song, Let's Go Out in a Blaze of Glory. So it reminds me of that, right?
Yeah, of course.
Remember that song?
Bon Jovi.
Oh.
It's called Blaze of Glory.
Okay.
Yes.
I had no idea.
Young Guns 2 soundtrack.
Oh, yeah. It was?
Yeah, absolutely.
I like Young Guns.
Yeah, probably the only country western type of thing I'd ever watch, but yeah.
That was sort of cool,
pretty
right?
Good. Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Wasn't bad.
So I definitely, you know, take a look at The Kings of Summer. You know, I think that you will like it. Again, not the greatest film, but certainly.
But a thumbs up.
Yeah, thumbs up nonetheless.
Very good. Why don't we take a quick break right now? And when we come back, we're going to review The Purge.
Scary.
Well, a scary movie?
Yeah, of course.
And you got the face on your chest.
Yes, the mask from the movie.
How long did it take you to do a tattoo like that?
How long would it take me to do a tattoo? What do you mean?
Of that face. That's
I don't
scary.
Know.
You have to ask the tattoo guy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's actually a mask, though. I wish they would have given me one of those on the way out of the theater. I would have scared the you-know-what out of you.
Oh, ooh, the you-know-what. That would be scary. Anyway, you're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment here live, 1480 AM KPHX, and you can hear us on BreakRadioShow.com. We'll be right back.
At Beerum Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment with Dave Isaac alongside Joseph Erdo and Greg Isaac. Did you see how I reversed the two?
I did, but actually what I was thinking of right there is that song, of course, Everybody's Working for the Weekend, is when Terry Crews is dancing to that in his red convertible in the movie Click. And just doing some weird things with his face. You know, Terry Crews, former football player in the Expendable movies, and a great car dancer as well. He likes to do a lot of dances in the car.
Wow. Yeah.
One of my favorite scenes from that movie.
I'm a great break dancer. Okay, car dancers, break dancers. Okay, this is 1480 AM KPHX Breakthrough Entertainment. We reviewed The Internship. Thumbs down so far.
Yes.
The Kings of Summer, barely a thumbs up.
Yeah.
However, thumbs up, nevertheless.
Correct.
Now, the scary movie right now, The Purge. What do you got?
The Purge. Let me tell you about this one. Over the course of a single... Over the course of a single night during the 12 hours every year when Americans can commit any crime without facing consequences, a family is tested to see how far they will go to protect themselves when the vicious outside world breaks into their home. Basically, what happens here is that we're in the future. I think it's like 2021. And every year, you know, we have a new founding father, something along those lines. And every year, there's 12 hours where the police lay down their guns and, you know, the emergency officials, they don't respond to 911. And you can commit any crime, including murder, for those 12 hours without any consequences whatsoever.
Are you saying this is a 12-hour annual free-for-all?
Yes, essentially that is what it is. And people, you know, the wealthy, they can buy these security systems that they no one can get in, no one can hurt them. But of course, what happens to the people who can't afford that, right?
It sounds bad. Survival of the
wealthiest.
Something.
Yeah.
Or at least of the wealthiest, probably. You're
yes.
Right.
Or at least the ones who look the wealthiest. And, you know, so last week I told you, you know, because this also stars Ethan Hawke. That's the primary guy
great
in
actor.
The film. Very great actor. And last week we had a breakthrough with him in...
Yeah.
Before Midnight.
Exactly. Best movie of the summer so far... That was.
Wow. Before Midnight?
Yes.
Where's it playing, by the way?
I believe at the Harkins Camel View 5.
Oh, do you think it'll have wider distribution?
It might, yes. I hope it will.
Now, you said best movie of the summer so far. I wonder what that's leading up to.
Well, that's the best movie in general. This is the best big movie of the summer. So far.
Really?
This one, The Purge, yes.
Oh, interesting.
So, you know, because they have to be separated, because, you know, of course, this is...
I was thinking it would go one way or another where it would be a big-time hit to you, mm-hmm. or it would be just a bomb, not just anything in the middle, but it seems like, you know, enjoyed it.
This is excellent. I mean, because there's just so much in this movie. You know, every so often, a movie comes around that redefines a word within the English language and forever burns the new signification into our memory and vocabulary. You know, people out of the screening, they were walking out saying, oh, I'm going to go purge tonight. And I mean, before this movie, that would have meant something completely different.
Yeah.
This is going to be one of those words that, you know, down the line, you might not even remember the movie,
right.
but you're going to know what this word is.
Mm-hmm.
And people are going to be talking about the purge and purging and these 12 hours. You know, it could effectively be categorized as a white knuckler. Okay, and you know, it's as thought-provoking as it is hair-raising. This is very frightening. You're going to be very unsettled the night after you see this movie, and I really do want our listeners, and you, Dave, and you, Greg, to go see this movie.
Yes.
It incites questions about everything from mankind's necessity for release of pent-up anger to society's desire for economic equilibrium. Again, you know, like survival of the wealthiest. It also has these themes about... you know, people who are wealthy, are they really strong inside and out, or is it all kind of just a facade? You know, so even these things that feel like they might be weaknesses in the movie, it's all saying something. There's a lot of subtext in this movie, a lot of different layers, a very intelligent movie, and some horror movies are not that intelligent, right?
Absolutely. But this one is. Sounds very good.
Yes. And, you know, so it's unsettling. It leaves you uncertain about civilization's foreboding future. Big, big thumbs up. You know, not quite a breakthrough. You know, the action part of it near the end, I had a few problems with just because, you know, it's everything's happening at once.
Right, right.
It's much better when it's a little more foreboding and a little slower and a little more suspenseful. But, you know, I love this film. People need to go out and see. If anyone else is telling you that this movie is bad, don't listen to them. You've got to go see this for yourself, and you've got to think about this for yourself. Would this actually work? And that's what I wanted to discuss with you guys here. Mm-hmm. I'll say the theme here, and then we can discuss whether this would actually work. Everyone accumulates aggression that must be released eventually. Setting aside time to periodically cleanse oneself of said aggression reduces the likelihood of it being released randomly and without warning. Dave, would The Purge actually work?
No. Reason, for two reasons. One, yeah, stress management, good thing. No question. Thumbs up on stress management. Yet, does all stress turn into rage or anger? I say no. Stress, people can internalize stress many different ways. Depression, just withdrawing. And I think it's different than just general rage or anger issues. Now, so it's really stress versus anger issues. They can be two different things. Now, a 12-hour annual free-for-all never works. And I'll tell you why. It erodes moral conduct. Now, there's two concepts in business. If you don't have good people, have good systems. If you have good people, you don't need systems. And that's the same thing. It's substance over form. And if you need rules, that's the form to scare people. And often, it's not a knock on religion, but some maybe you could almost say in religion that it's all about obedience. And that's a good thing. But sometimes you just rotely do it. You just mechanically do it, not embracing the concept of doing the right thing.
Yeah.
So it's obedience versus the right thing. 12-hour annual free-for-all will get people not just to release their stress, but to take advantage of a dark side. And I don't think we're here for a dark side. We're here to transform, grow, become our highest and best. And I think maybe, I think I will see this film, because what I'm hearing you say, perhaps, is that maybe this is sort of a metaphor of what really happens. Wealth can do certain things behind the scenes.
Oh, certainly.
Ooh, that's certainly scary, right, Craig?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it, right?
No,
there's some weird stuff going on.
A lot of those rich people are pretty scary.
Well, we're not saying it's about rich people, but about greed and about power.
Right.
No, that could be the problem.
I'm being a bit sarcastic, but
I know.
But there's definitely truth to it. And other movies, even though not really horror, like a movie like The Running Man and The Hunger Games,
were
kind of those rich government types, put those people in those types of situations and settings and have everyone kill each other type of situation. And even though this is obviously different in a sense, kind of the same type of thing where, kind of as Dave mentioned, it's just setting people up to hurting each other in a 12-hour window, making it sound like it's okay. It's kind of like a cult. Like,
right.
Well, you got 12 hours. Yeah, go do what you want, which isn't good stuff. It's, crime. And, there's no need for that because, most people aren't aggressive to the sense where they'll hurt other people. There's this very small percentage, but this would promote it even more.
Yeah, I agree with Greg.
So it wouldn't work, of course, but the movie sounds great.
So would you feel the need, personally, would you feel the need to purge, or would you go in and hiding?
The only thing I would do is I would keep calling Eva Mendes. I'd be stalking her, so that would be my crime. But then I would stop after the window. Yes. just over the phone. But I would go into hiding. I wouldn't want to deal with what's going on out there.
Dave? Would you
No,
purge?
I would. No. Oh no, I would not participate in anything like that, and I would encourage people not to. Actually, I mean, can you say, how did the churches react? How did other organizations react? Did it show that in the film?
No, they didn't. But a sequel,
be interesting, right?
A sequel has already been greenlit, so we'll have to see
a sequel.
I hope that they show us what the rest of
more
this
of
world.
A background behind it.
Yeah, because it is very interesting. Do you think that? I mean, the world, we already passed so many laws that are kind of like this. Not like this, but it's along the same lines. I mean, we're if you think back to the 60s or something, they would think of a lot of our laws. Well, that would never pass.
Right.
That's like science fiction. Well,
right.
You know, is it possible that many, many years down the line that they could do, that the government could do something?
Yeah,
like
but
this?
Only for a select group, and that's called the politicians in Washington, D.C. Right, Eric? That's what I'm thinking, right? No doubt about it.
They get away with all sorts of stuff as it is.
It's absolutely so true. So right. I think there are certain groups that do get away with certain things.
Yeah, so
already.
Yeah, and I'll agree with you on the moral conduct, that it would erode our moral conduct, something like this. I almost feel like it would work to some extent. It might reduce our crime and violence, but not to the extent that it did in this movie, because it's like a utopia where everyone's just like, it's like the Stepford Wives half the time.
Because people, I think with the crime, it just depends on the situation. You know, there's some people, maybe sociopaths out there that would just have to do it regardless. But then you have crime where it just might happen, where yes, the aggression comes out, but it might be because of a certain situation. So this wouldn't stop it. Like, you walk in and Chuck Norris is there with your wife, you don't do anything. But if it's any other guy, you know, you guy might get aggressive and do something stupid, or opposite, you know, or different type of situation.
Someone might be passive. They might start planning that, and say, "Well, during those 12
hours,
that's
true. Then
I'm
they
going
can
to
do
that.
It during that."
Yeah. But then it might reduce it to that extent.
That's true, and that's actually a good point I didn't think about. So either way, that could be brought up, and it is an interesting concept. That, of course, I would never work, because at the end of the day, you know, I still think it would promote people to do that crazy stuff. It's like when you have a natural disaster, you see in movies, people will go, "Oh, there's a disaster. The cops are helping over there. Let me go rob, you know, these stores
and
stuff."
And that happens.
Yeah, absolutely.
The earthquake, remember?
In Northridge, people are doing that and stuff. And you would hope that doesn't happen. Now,
and regular people are doing that.
Well, but some of it may be people trying to get supplies. That's different. If it's a life or death situation.
52-inch screen.
Right.
TV.
To go,
out of Target? No,
there's
I saw
car
that
over
on
here.
TV.
Look at that Porsche. Let me go take it real quick. You know, so
that sort of did
funny,
happen when there was no
movie,
law and order,
but not in real life.
I remember the Simi Valley. The Northridge quake was it? Yeah, I think
it was 94.
Yeah, it was, and
like free for all.
Yeah, and I was watching TV. I was buying a car to actually at the time, and I took a break and I saw on TV that appeared to be like a movie. And I'm thinking, but there was a newscaster saying, "Oh, look at all the people running out of Target. Oh, look with the 52-inch screen TV." And I go, "What's up?" Oh, no, that wasn't the earthquake. It was a Rodney King incident.
Yeah, that was horrible.
Yeah remember that? And people were looting stores. It's like, wow. And it was like apparently just regular people.
So then, you know, maybe this might not work, but I believe that there would be a lot of people out there
people
who would
participate.
Actually purge. Yes.
No question about it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's sort of sad,
without
though.
A doubt.
Yes, it is sad.
Eric, is that sad, you think?
Yeah, big time.
It is.
You know, I think a lot of people just stay indoors and lock their doors.
Yeah. That's what I think.
Yeah.
You know, but it is sad, you know, looting businesses. I don't like it.
People who do that anyway would just get worse.
Yeah, I agree. Totally. Yeah.
So go to breakradioshow.com and click on the F. We'd love for you to share your thoughts on our Facebook page. You know, tell us, do you think that the purge would actually work? This would be a great discussion to keep up going.
Yeah.
Keep going. And again, go see the movie, because it is very unsettling. You will love it. Again, best movie of the summer so far, except for Before Midnight.
And that shows a big summer thus far for Ethan Hawke.
Yes. He's in the two best movies of the summer so far.
Mm-hmm. Very nice for him. And that's very cool. And this is the end of Breakthrough Entertainment. Joseph, thank you. Joseph Erdo.
Thank you.
Greg, thank you. You'll be here joining us with Real Hockey Talk. Breakthrough Sports coming up right away at 12 o'clock. And we'll be right back.
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.